esta, Messi.
Has got more curves to it than Jessica Rabbit on steroids. Take a look at this.
This is Ronaldo. And that is 1-0 to Brazil.
Oh, can you believe that? Is that the icing on the cake or what? What a goal! What an absolute missile! A wry smile on the face of Jurgen Klopp. But what a thunderbolt! Where did Chalhanoglu pull that one from?
Over the top. Oh, spectacular, Thiago! That one is one for history to look at. One of the goals of the season.
Picks out Rivaldo. Oh, he's seen the keeper off his line. Oh, extraordinary by Rivaldo.
Straight in, Thomas Müller with a beauty. Goalkeepers do not stop those.
Urgency up. James Rodriguez. Has to be a beautiful, absolutely brilliant.
Now from Malouda, he's got Henry making a move ahead of him. Zidane stepping through the challenges, feeding Patrick Vieira, ravaging run from midfield. Tackled by Chuan, brought down by Chuan.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. We're your hosts, Joe and Reggie. Tonight we have a scarce studio in here. Frederick will not be able to join us, and Nick won't be able to join us as well. We were going to do our World Cup recap so far through the group stages, and then a little bit through the knockout stages, and just see where our picks landed us. For those of you that haven't listened to previous episodes where we picked our teams to advance to the knockout stage, go back and listen to that one. You can see what teams we picked and all that good stuff. So. We do have Liverpool Logan on the phone tonight, so we'll be talking to him about a number of things that's going on in this World Cup. In particular, we're going to be speaking about VAR and how I think it's terrible and how these guys want to defend it. So we'll hear my opinion and their opinions later on in the show. And we're going to be talking about, we might get into a little bit of results, the Ronaldo Messi controversy and all of that stuff. So stay tuned and listen to that. But before we get into the show, let me give you some pertinent information that you need to know to get to us. So as usual, you can reach us on our website. It's footballweekly.com. Football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. Trying to get on Spotify. Trying to get on iHeartRadio. So stay tuned for those two things coming up in the future as well. But there's a number of different podcatchers you can catch our podcast on. You can reach us on Twitter at @football_weekly. Again, football spelt F-U-T-B-O-L _weekly. You can reach us individually on Twitter. My handle is @Reginaldinho_5 and Joe's is @JoeCola4. So without any further ado, guys, let's get stuck in. You're listening to the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, man, we are in Champions League. We are in Champions League, man.
That was my next
dilly din, dilly dong. Come on.
So, guys, VAR. I don't know about you guys, but this has to be probably one of the worst things to come into football in a long time.
It's because you talked about it, because you dogged it. Since that moment, VAR went absolutely crazy, didn't it, Logan?
I completely disagree with Reggie.
I know, I think it went crazy this week.
VAR has made everybody knows that this World Cup is one of the best World Cups we've ever seen.
Not because of VAR, though.
I think it's helped create excitement.
VAR is doing the job. It's doing the job, Reds. Come on. The only game in the whole tournament where VAR has become an absolute shambles was the Iran versus Portugal game, yeah, where Carlos Queiroz was trying to use VAR and, frankly, the Iranian players
to turn a
game on its head. Yeah. And that's where VAR became a three-ring circus.
Well, you know what's funny? Reggie, what did you text me during that game? VAR needs VAR.
Yeah, you need VAR to control VAR. It's crazy. Listen to me. If you want to go back to that game, the Iran-Portugal game, and you want to go back and watch that game, watch the penalty shot that Iran got. Watch where the referee was standing. He was no more than 5 yards away from it, looking directly straight onto
Cedric.
It.
Yeah, and Cedric there.
Why can't he make that call? You know why he doesn't want to make that call? Because he doesn't want to be the guy that puts Portugal out. And this is probably going to be Ronaldo's last World Cup. And he doesn't want to be the guy that does that.
Reg, I actually agree with you. What I think was, A, that's never a penalty.
Of course it's a penalty.
No, it's not a penalty. I'm sorry, it's not a penalty.
It hit his hand in the
box.
It
is 100% not a penalty.
Okay, so let's fast forward a little bit.
Okay, so wait, whoa. I just want to finish the point because I think you made a good point.
All right.
The Iranians were a subpar team that were going to have to rely on something like a penalty getting them back into the game.
Okay.
The Iranian player tried to goad Cristiano Ronaldo into a red card.
How?
The ref reviewed it. How? Probably made the right decision by giving a yellow.
What are you talking about? The elbow? The elbow from behind?
It wasn't an elbow. The guy.
Well, here's my problem with it.
The guy leaned into Ronaldo and tried to get.
I don't know.
Here's my thing.
He played for it, Reg.
If you go and use the letter of the law to this, if they acknowledge, the VAR did acknowledge, and when we say VAR, the group of referees, if they acknowledge that that's a foul, which that's the questionable thing for me, but if you have acknowledged that that's a foul, then Kiroš had a great point. That's a red then. I think the question is...
It's never a red.
Here's what I'm saying, though. But maybe, Logan, but hear me out. I tend to agree, and I can't believe that I'm saying this because I'm leaving personal bias out of it. If you go to VAR and say it's a foul, I don't think it's not even. I think it's inconsequential contact there. But if you say that it's a foul,
then it's got to be a red,
right? Because you're saying it's the elbowing motion.
Of course,
no, that's completely disagree. I completely disagree because then, I'll bring up another example. Right.
Please.
There was a game with Serbia. I think it was Serbia, anyway.
Yeah.
A guy accidentally lashed out at a Costa Rican. Well, he brought his arm out and it smacked the guy in the face. And it was a red card review and the ref made the right decision and gave a yellow.
Okay, so there's some precedent.
Okay,
because
Let me talk about it, okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
A, if you watch the review, the Iranian all day is trying to get Ronaldo sent off.
He's leaning into him, blocking him.
Was Ronaldo clever in the way that he might have put his arm across the chin of the Iranian?
His elbow, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it was.
Absolutely.
It was an elbow, Logan. It was an elbow.
But it's never a red card.
Here's what's becoming.
Honestly, that would have been the worst call in World Cup history. I'm sorry.
Well, it would have been
reviewed. It's not a red card. The ref, I have to hand it to him. This is the point that I would like to make. The Iranians went buck mad when Ronaldo got stonewall penalty in the box. Like, I don't know what they're arguing about. But that's a penalty.
On first glance, I thought it was outside.
Yeah, but, first glance. And then,
If you get to the replay, it's inside.
But that's the point of the VAR.
Okay.
The VAR helped that, right?
Right.
Okay, exactly.
This is where the VAR was okay
then
at this
the
point.
Iranians, then the Iranians go buck mad to try and get... The Iranians go buck mad in order to get Ronaldo sent
great
off.
Term.
And it's not a sending off. Okay, it's just never a sending off in any.
Here's my issue,
unless it happens to Harry Kane.
Let me just finish. It's never a sending off. They were trying to goad the guy into a cart. Okay, it's never a sending off.
Okay,
it's never in any, never in a month of Sundays. Okay, Stephen Caldwell can say that it's a sending off. The guy's an absolute idiot. The fact that I'm on the other side of the bait makes me even more confident in my assertion. What ended up happening, I think the ref made a good call on both the penalty and
make the call.
The Ronaldo yell.
The seventh ref made the call.
Well, wait.
And then the ref bottled it because the Iranians were going nuts about what was never a handball, okay? I am fine if there's an unnatural hand in the air.
Cedric jumps
and it's
up.
Blocking a goal-scoring opportunity.
So Cedric jumps up. I think when
Logan and the guy heads it down onto his arm. It's not going to create a goal-scoring opportunity.
I think what Logan is saying here.
And then the ref, because he didn't give the other two. No, but wait a minute. I'm fired up. Because the ref didn't give the other two decisions, the Portugal to Iran, sorry. The human element comes in the VAR where he says, okay, you know what? I got to give them the penalty.
And that's what kind of Reggie is saying. I think that's where.
And that's why I started, Joe was saying,
that's until
I don't disagree with Reggie's point.
Yeah, that's where VAR was a little bit. You're right, Logan. I think you said it too, is that's where VAR went a little crazy, and that's where Reggie's actual tongue-in-cheek comment was good. VAR needs VAR, and in that game, for sure.
I can't have VAR controlling my World Cup. Now, listen to me.
I agree, Reg.
Logan, hang on. I'll let you make your point right now, but I have something to ask you. After you finish your point, I have something to ask you, and I know Joe wants to say something too. So, finish your point.
So, what I would say, Reg, is I agree with you. You know, we're kind of on the same page here, in a around the world kind of view.
Okay.
My feeling is that in 2018, you need VAR.
Right.
What you don't need is a bunch of players going up to the referee on every call. And putting and drawing a box, okay?
Yeah, but why?
That's not what the referee. Why? That's not what the referee needs.
Yeah,
and that's what you're having a problem.
Yeah,
with.
For sure. That's the issue.
Every single call is that.
We saw it today too. Denmark,
Greg,
and Croatia.
Yes, you're right, Joe. Yeah. But overall, VAR has been a good thing at this World Cup. Let me just finish with this.
You can't have 50% good and 50% bad. Not at this level.
It hasn't. Yeah. But Reg,
it's not 100. If it's not 100%, I don't need it in the game.
It hasn't been 50% good and 50% bad.
Is it 100 good?
About 90%.
I don't need it.
And 10% bad.
I don't need it.
Reggie doesn't like those odds.
It has to be 100. It has to be 100.
No, it doesn't have to be 100.
Of course it does.
We're never going to come to 100% conclusion on VAR.
Yeah.
But the fact is that this World Cup, it's been 90% good and 10% bad.
So when is it 10% bad?
What I would say is this. They need to – the 10% bad is the fact that players are running up to the referee on every marginal call and asking for it. And also, even Kasper Schmeichel today, I would say that he was using it not because he didn't believe that was a foul. But because if I use VAR, then I can make Modric wait longer to take this penalty and use it as an advantage. Wow. The
gamesmanship,
like Sergio Ramos running up to the referee with the way that he cheats week in and week out, running up to the referee and asking him for VAR is absolutely ironic. This is part of the problem. This is where other sports have done a better job of incorporating VAR. What I would say is this, and to the rugby fans that are listening to this podcast, and I know that rugby fans don't usually like soccer and are only casual fans. VAR in rugby has been done well because rugby players, and this is a problem that should be fixed in football. Rugby players are very good at only the captain approaching the referee. When the referee does go to VAR, it's transparent. There's a two-way communication between the referee and the referee's assistant that's reviewing the VAR under review.
The ninth referee,
and that's what we don't have in football in this World Cup. We have no insight and no transparency into what is being discussed in the VAR room to the referee.
This is what
needs to rooted out of football, not only from a VAR point of view, but the number of players that go up to a referee and ask for a yellow card and everything else, not being rooted out before VAR has been introduced. Anybody that asks, and Joe's brought it up before, if you ask for a VAR review, you should be yellow carded. The referees have this under control. They have a two-way communication. They have been telling the
under
players.
Under control. You wouldn't need VAR if you had it under control.
No, but they have been telling the players to back off.
Yes.
And I will get the review if the review is called for. There are players running up to referees who have no idea what happened under the play and say, hey, let's draw a box. Like even Casper Schmeichel today. Come on.
Yeah, it was a bit much.
Absolutely a Stonewall penalty.
That's right.
You have no idea. He never won the ball. You're telling the referee you won the ball and go to VAR? He never even came close to winning the ball.
At first I thought he was telling him because, okay, did he show him a red card? Which could argue, probably should have. And I said, oh, maybe he's arguing to say it's not.
He probably should have given the red card. I don't know if it's because of the double jeopardy that they tried to instill. I believe that the Denmark player made a legitimate attempt on the ball.
He tried to hack down the
Croatian.
It was pretty close.
But for Casper Schmeichel to act like, oh, this is VAR and he won the ball, I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah. So two things here, Reggie and Logan, is – again, we mentioned this. This attempt of players and coaches to just make it like what, you know, an absolute mad dash to the referee saying check it out on VR absolutely has to be ruled out. We got to say here, we said it last week too, a league that, you know, takes a lot of heat for other stuff, they're at the front of this in terms of the MLS. It's official that it's, you know, clubs have been told, teams have been told, coaches, you are not allowed to, you know, practice this, like, you know, running up to the referee, making the box signal and asking for VAR.
VAR is good, Reg. Right. You have to give it credit. Joel, let me finish this point, because VAR has been good for this World Cup. It's ruling out a lot of the clutching and grabbing. Yeah. We need to stop players going up on every single play for VAR. And you know what? I don't know.
It's
I don't
hockey.
Know what to do.
It's not hockey.
No. I don't.
So are you gonna ask VAR? Are you gonna ask VAR? Oh, he's pulling my shirt. It's a foul. Let's go back and look at it. Forget the clutching and grabbing. Who cares? It's part of the game. You're not gonna ask.
No, it's not part of the game.
Of course it is.
It's not part of the game, Reg. What was happening to England in the Panama game is not part of the game. You know, there are things that need to be ruled out.
Oh, I can't.
I actually think, in my opinion, Reg, this is what I think. I think if you're going to clean up football and you're going to clean it up for the North American audience, you need to go and
Why do you need to clean it up for North America?
Because that's where the growth market is. And I am sorry, but I witnessed things in the Uruguay-Portugal game yesterday by Luis Suarez, a guy that I love because he played for Liverpool, and I think he's a great player, but he's an absolute cheat. Okay, what he was doing yesterday in that Uruguay-Portugal game was borderline cheating. He was holding his head when he'd never been hit in the head. It brings back shades
VAR to get rid of that?
When he complained about being hit in the face on the corner kick when he got hit in the thigh, there should be a VAR review of every game of players' antics on the field. What they're doing.
These games would take 20 hours to play. Yeah.
Listen, I think that
I'm not talking about disrupting the play, Reg. What I'm talking about is a VAR review understanding of what they're doing from a theatrical point of view. Okay. Luis Suarez, with all due respect, I love him as a player. I will love him to the day I die as a player.
Linesmen are for.
He was a No, it's not what the linesmen are for. The linesmen can't see everything. Yeah. Are you telling me that some of these linesmen are up to the snuff? They're not.
Well, listen, Luis Suarez, I mean, I'm going to say this in a sound. Okay, of course, listen, we need it to rule this stuff out. But what we need to have is a proper way to execute it. And I think that's what we're all, you know, agreeing upon. Like, we need a proper way where this is used.
I agree, Joel.
It in a way that's no. And I think, Reggie,
that has to stop.
Yeah,
that has
I think if players know they're being watched in this
that's
way,
fine.
Reggie. I mean,
that's fine.
But correct me if I'm wrong.
But
you guys
don't need VAR to
look,
give
you
a
can't
call
have,
to someone.
Can't
to,
have,
right.
can't have coaches asking
the referee
for
can make
VAR
that call.
In every play.
Yeah.
But Reggie, this is where I agree with you.
But you're allowed to do that.
I understand it, but like. Okay, in NFL football, when they bring in VAR, and football, and like any sport, also Major League Baseball, there's parameters on what can be challenged.
Yes, yes.
And there's penalties for what can be challenged.
Yeah, and restrictions
like
and limitations.
There's restrictions, exactly. So you can't have guys like Ramos running up to the referee and like the players in the Iran game that basically could have cost Portugal the tournament. Because if Portugal plays Russia today, I think they have a better chance of beating them than Spain did. And they changed the course of the tournament. They could have even knocked Portugal out because they had a chance at the end of the game. The fact is that in football, in American football, if you challenge a play, you could lose a timeout. Right. Maybe we need, and I'm not suggesting this.
So when you lose a substitution or something?
Maybe, yeah, exactly, Reg. That's what I was going to say. Maybe there needs to be a penalty for challenging. Because we can't have this free-for-all of four players intimidating the referee. Intimidating the referee to the point where maybe the next call he's intimidated against.
I think I got the solution.
Okay.
Well, part of it. I know that they do this in leagues anyway. Like in all leagues, right, guys? After I say this, you guys say yay or nay. But I believe, okay, so we do have more eyes watching. We do have the videos watching, right? We got that. So let's say in a game, like you said, Logan Suarez, there's all these theatrics and so on. I don't know. Maybe he bites someone again. You think I'm bitter? So anyway, so if he does that again, even if it's not caught in the game, I think that they absolutely should go back and say, okay, Reggie, you did this in this game back. You're going to be suspended for the next game because of those.
But that's the point I'm trying to make.
They do that, right, Reggie?
No, they don't, though, Reg.
They do.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
They don't do it for embellishments. They don't do it for embellishments.
In order
for a violent act, yes.
Yeah, in order to eliminate the nonsense of diving and theatrics, every game should be a VAR review. And also, like, there are tackles that go down as yellow cards that should be
removed. Oh, yeah, or red. Absolutely
terrible challenges.
Okay.
Players need to know that they're under this microscope.
Yeah, that's true.
And we need to root this out of football because it's a negative weed.
Logan, let me ask you a question. Okay? And this really happened in the World Cup, so I want to hear what you think about it. Senegal goes out of the World Cup on yellow cards. Okay?
First time ever that a group has been decided this, right?
Okay, yep. So I sent
Is that true? Yes.
Yes. I sent out a tweet that if we don't trust the referees enough to make the calls on the field, we shouldn't be trusting them to give out yellow cards. Because every referee is going to see a tackle differently. Correct? So do we use VAR to make sure that it's a yellow card? Do we have to review every yellow card, every red card to make sure it's really a yellow card?
Especially when stakes are that high.
When you're training for a World Cup, it's every 4 years. You finally make it there. And to go out on yellow cards when it could be something so stupid. I saw Niang in the game against, I believe it was, who'd they play last?
They played, not Colombia, they played...
Was it Colombia?
They might have, yes, they did.
It was Colombia. Yes. So I saw Niang, he was looking directly up into the sky, the ball was coming down, he put his foot up to control it, defender ran into his leg, yellow card. It's never a yellow card. It's never a yellow card in our leagues, it's not a yellow card in the World Cup, it's not a yellow card, it's not even, people wouldn't even look at that in the EPL as anything. So that's another yellow card that gets tacked on to their total. And guess what? At the end of the story, they're out because of yellow cards. So do we need VAR to look at cards since we don't trust the referees to make the proper call on the field as well?
Well, Rich, no.
No.
I don't think we need
VAR. It's a one-way street then.
No, but wait. Because I think the rule in itself is nonsensical. And here's my reason. Here's my argument why.
Oh, it's a foolish rule. But
it's a foolish rule. And that's why VAR has nothing to do with this rule. The rule is stupid in its development.
No. The rule, it does
no,
have,
no, 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 no,
it
no,
does
listen,
have something
listen,
to do with the rule.
Just let me finish my point. Let me finish my point. The reason why punishing teams based on yellow cards, I understand the premise. However, every game is its each individual playing. You could have a really physical game that, you know, a South American team against Senegal may be very, very physical. There could be the referee may need to clamp down on things early in order to set the tone just by the very nature of the game.
Okay, but
now should Senegal pay the price? Because their game is more spicy than the Japan versus Colombia game? That's where I think judging teams based on fair play in quotations is what I'm saying, is wrong. I would rather the two teams, and I know it's difficult to do during a World Cup tournament, but the more fair practice would be to have those teams meet somewhere and take penalty kicks from the spot.
It's true.
Because yellow cards is meaningless to me.
We all agree on that.
Well, you get two and you miss the next game.
Fine. But meaningless in terms of...
Also, Reg, to your point, this is what I want to say. The ref that might have been judging the Senegal versus Colombia game,
different
set maybe rules. A freewielding ref with yellow cards.
That's what I'm saying.
Versus a ref that's more.
To your point.
That's
to
what
keep
I'm
the
saying.
Cards
to,
in his pocket.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what we want to rule out is subjectivity.
Okay, but
that's
when
what Reggie's
saying. If you use VAR to go back and look to see if it was a yellow card or not,
VAR can't analyze whether or
you
not
you wanted
a
to
ref
analyze the game after with VAR.
No, but Reg, like that's the subjectivity of the ref. And that's where VAR can't really weigh in.
No,
gotta be
Logan,
black
no,
and white.
No, Logan. No. So today, Spain versus
Russia.
Was that a penalty shot against PK?
I think so.
Why? Well, if the Portuguese against Russia wasn't,
well, this, the,
or
in,
Iran
okay.
wasn't,
so
why
in
is
this
that, why
in
is
this
one?
Instant, PK's hand, Reggie, was up above his head, whereas Cedric's was out like this, jumping right.
Joe, jump backwards and tell me where your arms.
I don't
go.
Jump much, but no, but I think it was more of a natural like motion with Cedric.
So the only thing,
no, Reggie, I don't know. It was up like PK's hand was up above
his
head.
His arm was out here.
You know what?
PK's?
No, Iran. Oh yeah,
the Iran one.
Whereas PK's was above his head.
Yeah, but if you're jumping backwards, your arm's gonna go in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought it was just one arm, right?
Reg, I gotta be honest.
Reggie is doing like a Spider-Man thing. If you guys obviously you can't see her, but yeah. It's pretty amazing,
Reg,
actually.
An amazing Spider-Man.
Reg, I can tell you is I was reading at 10 o'clock mass at Blessed Frederick Rosenham. I didn't see the first half.
Oh, you didn't see it.
I haven't seen the highlights.
VAR. Go to VAR and watch it.
All I could rely on was a text from my buddy Joe that said, and other people that texted me that said that it was a penalty.
To me, it was, Reggie, his hand.
It hit his hand, no doubt.
I haven't heard anybody, Reds, that's texted me and said that it wasn't a penalty.
I'm a defender. It's not a penalty, if you ask me. If you need VAR to look at the one Portugal versus Iran, then you need VAR to look at
Well, here's one. What I like about the call in the Spain-Russia game. Reggie, to your point when we started this, the ref did make the call. He was sure of himself. He even went to him and said, this is how you did it, too. So at least he made the call.
But his back was to the ball.
Nah.
The ball went over his head. He had his arm in the air.
Oh, you're saying to PK?
To PK.
Okay.
And the guy headed it forward against his arm.
Right.
It was behind him.
My only argument is in favor of this in terms of in how he made the call, Reg, because you were saying, well, if the guy can't see if he's right in front of it, he did see it,
okay.
And that's how we saw it.
If he makes the call, that's fine.
That's right. Yeah.
But I don't need to go to VAR to tell me to make the call.
And this instance is what I don't want. In this instance, he was sure of himself. And it's almost like I see – here's what I like about what's happened with VAR. Referees, when they see something and they're very sure of it, they do – it's like they're explaining more. I like the fact that even they're going, you know, in corners, I'm seeing, we're watching, you know, and you can see them making the, you know, I'm watching you look.
I agree, Joel. I think VAR is having a positive effect on this World Cup. I think that most people, even the objective fan, would say this is the best World Cup they've seen in a long time. And whether it has to do with VAR or not, you'd have to say that, yeah, this is a pretty good World Cup.
Oh,
and I would say that VAR,
because of VAR.
But I think it's played its role, Reg. I think it's played its role,
but it's not always positive.
No, and I think when you're trying to, you know, initiate new technology, innovative things, it's going to take some time.
I would say 90% of the time, Reg.
Yeah, but look,
90% of the time, it works all the time.
I need you. If you're going to put in a new technology in a game, it's got to be 100% for me.
I think it's going to
change the.
It's never going to be 100%.
Well, then I don't need it.
Because it still comes down to the referee's interpretation.
Don't need it then.
Like 100% of the time, I want with the referee's watch when the ball goes over the line. The VAR, I am fully understanding, unless it's an offside, that there may be some interpretation. today, Russia and Spain. I would never, as a referee, I don't give a penalty in that situation with 3 minutes left in the game for minimal contact. And yeah. PK didn't even ask for the penalty. It was more Ramos. And Ramos has nothing. Ramos is a hatchet, man. And that guy's asking for a penalty.
Mo Salah, hey, you're still bitter, you know, eh?
Hey, Reg, the word on the street is that Joe Colangelo has a haircut like Sergio Ramos. The worst world.
Oh, bad.
He busted it out. Logan busted out the line.
That was bad.
Wow,
today.
That was pretty bad. It's the one side of it that I was like, what's going on with the other side?
I couldn't understand what was going on. That's pretty bad. Couldn't get a haircut
in Russia. That's the worst. That's the worst World Cup haircut. The only guy pretty dodgy. The only challenger. The challenger is actually Vida from Croatia.
Oh, what is going on with that?
I haven't seen him.
That was bad. Terrible? It's bad. That ponytail is...
ponytail. Enough, yeah, and it's... Enough said. Thank
it's
you.
It's just strange.
Thank you. Enough said.
Strange.
So wow. I guess you like
that was
Vida, right?
That was Apollo Di Nicola ponytail.
Oh, he made it in. He made it in. You know when he's going to listen to this?
Every
he's going to fist pump and...
Every show he seems
give a
to
chuckle.
Oh my goodness.
So guys, the one VAR, Reggie, Logan, I mean, look at what it's done even for the water cooler stuff. It's been amazing in terms of look what it's done with us.
Well, that's fantastic to talk
right?
about.
Entertainment wise.
Terrible.
but
Joe, I can fully understand why Reggie, just like I said last week, doesn't like VAR
in the box
from a defender point of view.
My tackles are clean. My tackles are clean.
Reds, you're one
go
of
to the
most,
video.
You're one of the best defenders I've ever played against, but also one of the most dirtiest.
Oh, that's
so,
those
I'll take
those
that.
Kind of go hand in hand.
I'll take that. Can't be a good defender if you're not a little bit dirty, but I'll take it. Thank
that's
you.
That's actually a compliment, Reggie.
There you go. Guys, what about, like, look at this. Look at this conversation about VAR. It's excellent. It's fantastic. This tournament, I know everybody keeps using this line, but it's true. It keeps on giving. The entertainment value, the teams going for work and trying to win. I mean, look at the games we saw yesterday. I mean, you know, excitement-wise, even Uruguay, Portugal, Cavani. What a performance by Cavani. I mean,
oh, yeah,
he literally ran out of his socks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what? I felt that Portugal were a little hard done by because I thought they were the better team.
Especially after the tie. I agree. After they tied it up, they were going for
it. But having said that, you know, this World Cup, just like other World Cups, you know, you need that little bit of luck.
You need it.
You know, you look at a team like Uruguay. Yeah. You know, people don't talk about Uruguay.
Enough.
But enough. Yeah, I agree, Joe. Because yeah. You know what? Uruguay have a pedigree.
They
you
do.
You know, they've won two World Cups. Much like Italy, you might as well throw those two European Cups in the bin because not the whole world played. But having said that,
one shot an episode. But yes,
they
go
have,
on, Logan.
They have
yeah.
two World Cups. And actually, one of the first people in FIFA, a lot of people don't know this, he lobbied for Uruguay to host that early World Cup because he witnessed what happened in the Olympics with football. And he realized FIFA needed to have that tournament and he wanted to host it. So fair play to him. Yeah. And Uruguay, you know, shut down the Maracana in 1950
yes.
when they won the World Cup.
That's right.
And they've been out of world football and they've been on the fringes.
Yeah.
With limited superstars. In the 80s, it was Enzo Francescoli
great
was their
player.
Main player. They also had Sousa in the borders of the 90s.
But nothing really like this, yeah.
Nothing like this. And they've emerged with two players like
Suarez,
like I said,
Cavani. They can decide
Louis,
a game,
Louis,
right? Like that, and they did, and he
like
did.
Before Mo Salah challenging what people said about challenging Messi
Suarez.
And Ronaldo, people were talking about Suarez. And Luis Suarez is a guy that will run through a big brick wall to win. He's a great player. When you throw Cavani into the mix, another world-class player. And then you throw in the organization of that midfield and then a central defender like Godin. This team can beat France.
Agreed.
Let me tell you something. Maybe I was a little bit biased because my wife's half Portuguese. I thought Portugal was the better team.
But that's why I want – my wife's Portuguese too, but that's why I want them to lose. Sorry. Sorry.
But I would say that Portugal kidding. Was there. They were the better team. They were that was attacking. They were the team that was attacking. But having said that, as much ball control that you have, the name of the game is about putting the ball in the net.
Yeah.
And the goals that Uruguay scored were brilliant goals.
Right.
By world-class player. And that's it.
I mean,
same today, you can make the same argument about Spain. Spain controlled the ball. They had the passes.
But again,
but you know what?
They weren't going anywhere.
Given. They weren't. And the Russian keeper made two great saves.
Wow, stole the show.
What I saw in the second half.
Right.
And no extra time. But you have to say the Russians had a plan. They
stuck to
it. Organized. They fought like bears. And
the plan was to go to penalty shots.
Right.
And the plan was. There. And then the plan was successful, Rich.
Yeah, it worked today.
You know, Logan, you did mention absolutely about the games today. But back to the Portugal-Uruguay game. I thought Portugal has the ability to play like they did after they tied it up. Meaning, I thought it was good that they were dictating rhythm. Bernardo Silva, when we saw him with Man City, he plays a more central role with Portugal. I thought he was really good, very good. And
you know, I agree, Joe. I thought Bernardo Silva was the man of the match. Agreed. I thought that they probably should have brought Quaresma on
earlier. Absolutely.
Yeah, earlier.
You know, because and this is another team. Like I think Gilson was on the bench too. I might be making that wrong, you know. And I thought, and I've always given Fernando Santos a ton of credit. He's pulled the strings. Yep. I thought that was the one, you know, that we maybe would have had and saw it because I thought right when Pepe scored,
even the striker could have been on earlier.
Yes, I mean, so again, the unbiased thing. I think they really. Again, like what Logan said, hard done by, but you know, the name of the game is to score those goals. And when you have two match winners, match deciders like Suarez and Cavani in your side, you got a chance. He literally ran out of his shoes. I mean, Cavani and Suarez worked so hard. The other center back.
And the point that I was trying to finish before was, you know, they've been out of the world conversation for a long time. But Diego Forlan, you think about 2010. Uruguay went to the semifinal of the World
Reggie
Cup.
Reggie could tell
right?
you about a game against Ghana that conjures up some memories.
You know, Reg, I hate to break it to you, Reg, but I was actually at the game.
Look at this
and
guy.
And I'll never forget Suarez punting that ball over the crossbar.
Yeah.
Great goalkeeping. It just kind of shows. And you know what? I was a bit. That just shows you about Luis Suarez.
Just
he will
wants
do
to win.
Anything.
Will to win.
He wants the will to win. The will to win is second to none, I would say.
Just another note, guys. I know Godin gets a lot of the credit, and he should. He's fantastic. His partner, Jimenez. Yeah. You know, the luxury of having a partnership of two center backs playing on the club team together as well as on a national team, right? Right. That's pretty important.
But what about that central midfielder, the number eight, Joe, that kept breaking up the crosses that were just he basically took them off of Ronaldo's foot, like he was tracking back so
was that
well.
Torreira? I don't know the number, but
Vecino. Torreira, yeah.
You know, Vecino was terrific too. Torreira, obviously, before he gets there, hold on. Sampdoria player. Serie A going to Arsenal.
Uh-oh.
Vecino from Inter Milan, very good player. Of course, Betancourt from Juventus.
I think it was Nandez.
He was good. Yes, but no, also, you're right. That was the number eight, right? You're right.
The number eight. But
you're right.
But I would
but all
also
of them put
say,
in a shift.
I would also say though, the guy with the bad dreadlocks,
Laxalt, another Serie A player, Diego Laxalt.
He played.
Got him
brilliant.
All, Logan. Got him all, Reg.
Well done, Joel. He had charisma in his back pocket, and he just played. He played great. He really played great.
So who beats Uruguay with that back line? I don't think anyone. Could we see them? Well, can we see them in the final?
We could, but the speed of Mbappe may open that up.
I like what the commentator said. I think it was Ian Dark who said it. It's Olympic. Speed.
Yeah, he did use that term.
It is. It's called Olympic speed.
It's crazy how fast this guy is.
Kind of reminds me.
You know, it's funny you say that, Reds, because I saw a meme of Mbappe with his face on Usain Bolt, just like looking back at the ref.
I haven't even seen this, and I'm laughing.
Yeah. You know, oh, I have to say, Reds, that's a very good point.
I was talking to Joe before the show, and I was telling him that ball that he intercepted to run the length of the wall, half the field, and get that penalty shot, the first penalty shot for Griezmann. He had no business getting that ball. There's no one can get that ball.
And this is what we talked about. In games where things are so tight and teams are so tactically prepared and so on, we've said it all along, the injection of pace and speed is unmatched. You cannot substitute that. And that's why, for the life of us, we can't understand, like everybody on the planet, why Germany leaves out Sané. Yeah. We look at teams with, like, Cuadrado and Colombia. The list goes on and on and on. We look at, you know, of course, Logan's beloved, you know, Three Lions. They got pace. Yeah. And I think you in today's modern game, the defending from the front that we see all the time with attackers and how hard they work. We just referenced Uruguay. But that pace, the injection of the ability to get behind players, like we saw Mbappe take over that game, essentially, you need it. And you just need it in today's game.
I mean, if you're going to come up against squads like Russia and Uruguay that defend really well, you need pace to break them down.
Yeah. That's right.
And we didn't really talk about Germany exiting. You know, I think there's been a lot made of it. I would say that Germany outplayed all three opponents they had in the group stage.
It's true.
But if you don't finish the chances that you have, then you're done.
Yeah, you're going home.
You're going home. And the other thing I would say is that this World Cup has been a World Cup of surprises. And it's anybody's game. I mean, to think that the one side, let's be honest, it's a little bit weaker.
Yes.
It's weaker. What I would say, though, is that the teams that deserve to get through to the second round have got through to the second round. And the teams that maybe were the better teams have ended up in the quarterfinal. Because Uruguay as a team are far more organized and have far more threat collectively than Portugal do. Did I think Portugal were the better team on the day? I think Portugal were the better team.
Yeah, it was probably their best game or their better game.
Yeah,
in the World Cup.
I didn't think they took their chances.
Yes.
Were Spain a better team against Russia? Absolutely. But did they create enough that led to Russia not doing enough to win? I don't think they did.
Joe and I were talking about that as well. What does possession mean?
Yeah.
Because you can have 100%, well, I guess not 100%, but you can have 90% possession and not do anything. I saw Spain playing from the left back to the center back to the other center back to the right back, right back to the center back. Nothing. And I know all of the Russians were back behind the ball. I get it. But, you know, Diego Costa was non-existent in this game.
Nothing.
Look, at the end of the day, you cannot fault the Russians who have a...
Absolutely not. Yes, I agree.
As a coach, you're not going to tell them to go out and play tic-tac.
Yeah, freewheeling football against Spain. Absolutely,
100%.
The way that you need
try to
them
break
to
us
win.
Down.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%. Try to break us down, and you can have 30 shots on net. Great if they all come from outside the box, and not a lot of them are chances. The big chances in the match. One of the big chances was Rodrigo, who could have been on earlier because he actually did open a little bit for Spain.
That's right.
The goalie made a good save against him. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is that the Russians fought like bears. They played for their home team. Is there an accusation of doping? For sure. I wouldn't doubt that they... I wouldn't doubt that this is like Ivan Drago getting the needle in the parts...
We got a Rocky reference.
For sure. There's no doubt about that. But the fact of the matter is that the Russians did the business. And I'm sure that there's a lot of vodka flowing in Russia
100%.
Up until this point that we're even doing the broadcast. And 100%. Fair play to them.
They're in the final eight of the most important tournament in the world.
The central defender that they have was unbelievable. The striker that they had that they pulled off.
Yeah.
The guy's
big
a bear.
Wow.
He holds the ball up. Big man. I watched England play Russia in Euro 2016. It was a 1-1 draw. They were an organized team. And you know what? Fair play to the Russians. I gotta say,
right?
They it's not like Spain were robbed today.
No, they weren't. And Spain,
they deserved to win.
Spain was poor.
But you wouldn't say that it was highway larceny.
No, Spain was poor in this tournament.
We should bring up one other topic. We should talk about Messi and Ronaldo. And these narratives about Messi, about how this was the worst Argentinian team, I don't buy it. Messi had a good team at this World Cup.
Players were there, man.
I swear. I mean,
the players were there.
You leave those guys on the bench.
Dybala didn't touch the ball.
If the coach is going to leave Dybala and
Aguero and Higuain, Higuain on the bench.
Aguero scored a world class goal against Switzerland. He scored another good goal against France. They had a chance at the end to even tie France 4-4. France aren't a bunch of hacks. They were the European runners-up. These excuses for Messi are ridiculous. There is no comparison between the squads that Maradona had in 1986 and 1990. For people like Christian Jack or anybody else
to say that Messi
had the worst Argentina squad is an absolute ridiculousness. Maradona found a way to do with those squads what nobody has ever done in a World Cup, frankly. Yeah. The guy won a World Cup and brought his team to a half team to the final where he had things. Yes, it's always a team game, but frankly, Maradona, on an individual basis, has no one has ever done in a World Cup what Maradona did in 1986.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think we just
If Messi can't take the pressure of that, I feel bad for him. He's a fantastic player, maybe the best that ever played. But the fact of the matter is what he did is what he did.
That's right.
And that's Maradona. And no one can argue against it.
Yeah, I think when we look for these, like, we want these great stories. The bottom line is Ronaldo and Messi are fantastic, amazing players who have accomplished so much. We always want to look to compare and say this and that. To say that, like, how are we saying that that team, that Argentina, that they're just, you know, these awful players and, you know, it's not his fault. No, we've already said, we've acknowledged, he's got to own some of that too. That team and that squad, a lot of coaches would die to have, okay? The bottom line is, it wasn't used correctly. He wants to say that,
no problem.
No problem. Any pundit wants to say, you know, the way more Argentina was put on the field, agreed. The way that they, you know, didn't play a certain way, great. But to say that they were the worst team, the worst Argentina we've ever seen, I mean, that's, listen, we know this. These are tournaments. All of us have acknowledged, and a lot of people who know the game acknowledge, you got to be lucky. You got to be, you know, got to know how to manage games and manage situations, and that's a tournament. Right. So let's go away from that. You want to say that Argentina right? They're not unified? For sure.
I agree, Joe. Like, you're telling me that was a World Cup classic. That could have been the final.
Right.
Could have been the final. Everybody said, and I think that everybody would recognize that, you know, probably the two teams, maybe even Germany, the two to three teams on paper that have the most depth and have the most skillful players are France, Germany, and Brazil.
Right.
The game between France and Argentina was like a final.
It's a great game.
France are the European runners up. Argentina took them to the wall. They had a 2-1 lead. What I don't understand, and I will never understand for as long as I live.
I know what you're going to say.
You have a crap goalkeeper, no problem. You have a subpar defense, subpar midfield. But where I come from, you can't find a place for Dybala, who was one of the superstars of a Juventus team that went to the quarterfinals or went to the far in the Champions League. You have Aguero, who's been a pivotal player in every single one of Man City's championships, who's a born finisher, and you have Higuain, who also, once again, is a born finisher. Aguero played 180 minutes in this World Cup, which is two games out of four. He had two goals. coming off the bench and as well as scoring a world-class goal in the first game that Argentina played. How you sit that guy, I will never understand. This idea, this narrative, this is part of the Messi apologists out there saying the team wasn't good enough for him. And this is where Messi's legacy gets devalued. Not because Messi isn't one of the best of all times. He may very well be. But this is as bad as Messi getting the golden ball in 2014 when idiots start making excuses that this is – like, for one, they played these players that were good and they don't suit Messi. They played these players that Messi was supposed to be suited with. Nothing happened under the circumstances. The fact is that Messi's a great player. Is he the best? I don't know. You know, Pelé and Maradona on an international stage
still up there
have every reason to be above Messi and Ronaldo. And that's just the facts. You can say what you want to say, and it goes down to every sport. People will say, oh, Dan Marino was the greatest quarterback of all time. I tend to agree in certain circumstances with the stats, but the fact of the matter is, if you don't win the big show, you're always not going to be recognized as the greatest of all time.
And it's to no discredit to Messi and Ronaldo. Like, no one's saying, right, we always are looking for, like, you know, like,
yeah, it's great point.
Yeah, those guys that we mentioned, they just happen to have won the big one, quote unquote, been in those situations. We know it's not an every year thing. They don't get to compete for the World Cup every year. We get it. We understand that every 4 years a team changes, there's a lot that changes, but the fact remains, you can't take that away from the collective that was Brazil and Pelé and all those great, amazing teams he had. And like Logan mentioned, in the Maradona Magistry of 86. I mean, you can't just – that's part of their fabric.
I'm reading an article by Anthony Lopolo on The Score, and he's trying to say that the 86 – that Messi had Argentina squads that weren't as good as the 86 squad. That is a load of rubbish. You can take that 86 team and you can name maybe three or four guys that played in Europe that were good players. But just look at the facts of the games. Like, Maradona scored 5 goals. He scored 4 goals in the – 2 goals in the quarterfinal, 2 goals in the semifinal, set up the winner in the final. Like, if you even go back to Maradona – go back to the video as a young lad. He's probably about 11 years old, 12 years old. And what he says is, I have 2 dreams in life. I'm going to play in the World Championships and I'm going to win the World Cup. And the fact is that he did it.
Right.
And he took that 86 team and he won the World Cup. And then he takes a hack 1990 squad that actually lost the first game against Cameroon.
Roger Miller
qualified as the third place team in the group, beat overmatched Brazil team 1-0, a goal that Maradona set up for Caniggia, a game where the Brazilians accused the Argentinians of spiking their water, which I would believe that they would do. They then go to the quarterfinal
in Yugoslavia.
They beat a stacked Yugoslavia team. Players Stojkovic, Savicevic, probably all those guys from Croatia.
Prozaneki.
Playing in that team. Yeah, Prozaneki. All those guys playing in that team. They beat them on penalties.
And then
this is where fate comes. And then I'm
leaving now.
I'm sorry. But they beat a stacked Italian team.
Yeah, they did. No business.
But
they beat them.
But who set up the goal? Maradona.
Once again.
And this is where fate comes into play, because Pompidou, the goalie in the 86 tournament for Argentina, breaks his leg in the first game against Cameroon, gets replaced by Goycochea.
It was fantastic in those shootouts.
Who becomes a penalty shot specialist.
Yeah.
Wins the quarterfinal against Yugoslavia. Wins the semifinal against Italy. And then almost gets, like, the final in 90 was one of the worst finals that's ever been played. 2 red cards.
Who scored the winning PK? We got this one, guys.
Andreas Bremer.
Ah, it's too easy. That's a meatball for you. I should have referenced saying, Logan, don't answer.
But do you know the story behind that?
Go for it, Logan, please.
So Lothar Matthäus lost his shoe in this the build-up to that.
This is amazing, Reggie. Keep going.
Lothar Matthäus lost his shoe in the build-up to that goal.
Do you think he'd and be the Lothar one to shoot that, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Lothar sure. Matthäus was their penalty kick taker. If you remember in the second round against Czechoslovakia, Germany was tied 0-0 and they needed a Lothar Matthäus penalty. No, it wasn't the second round, sorry. It was the quarterfinal because they beat
Holland in,
Holland
the,
in, the second, in a yeah. in a fire oh, in a bloodbath game where Frank Rijkaard spitting bat yeah, on yeah, yeah. Rudy Buller.
That's yeah, right.
So they beat Czechoslovakia, which interestingly enough, Czechoslovakia was a team that qualified out of the Italian group.
What a goal!
Which shows the quality of the Italian group and how tough it was.
What a goal that Badger scored in that one.
But Lothar Matthäus scored a penalty against Czechoslovakia in the quarterfinals to bring Germany through to the semifinals. It was a very pressure penalty.
By the way, you're welcome, everybody. This is great history, isn't it, Reggie? Logan, yeah, it's great
still,
history.
Still waiting for this. He lost his shoe. What happened?
Tell us, Logan.
And he lost his shoe, and basically he said, Andreas Brema, maybe you should take the penalty.
And Brema win the World the Cup.
Penalty. And scored the winning goal, and then Matthäus raised the World Cup. Lothar Matthäus set the record by playing in 5 World Cups. There's other players that have played in 5 World Cups now. Yeah. But a phenomenal player that maybe has been lost in time in the sense that the guy was just a midfield, the brilliance of that guy.
Yeah,
played for Bayern Munich yeah. and did it all.
Inter Milan.
You know, like, yeah. Inter Milan, yeah.
Well, at the time, Brema, Lothar Matthäus, and Jurgen Klinsmann were Inter Milan players.
We're all at Inter Milan, right, Joe? That's when yeah. Serie A was in its heyday.
Yeah.
You had
those days are
Brema,
done.
Klinsmann, and Lothar yeah. Matthäus in Inter Milan. And
Rudy Völler, yeah.
Hullet, and Marco van Basten, AC Milan. Yeah.
Rudy
like
Völler
at Roma.
The
Italian league. And you had Maradona and Kyreka
yes.
and Carnevale at Napoli.
That's right.
The Italian league was the league of all leagues. It was second to none and maybe the best league that's ever been when you look at the players that we just rattled off. Mm. The Premiership could never rattle off names like we just rattled off with a Hullet, van Basten, Rijkaard, Matthäus, Klinsmann, Brema, Maradona, Carnevale, and Kareka. I mean, that's insane. No Premiership team could equal that.
Lacazette, Aubameyang, Mkhitaryan. What are you talking about?
Hey, Reg, settle down there.
It's coming. Everybody, it's
it
coming.
Coming.
The I'm gonna put on the stripes for that one. It's when we do the preview show.
Okay, so
Logan versus Reggie.
Why don't we talk about the Denmark Croatia game because that should get some airtime tonight.
We're gonna do that next week.
Ooh, look at that! We're teasing them.
We're gonna do all
teasing
the
them,
we're
Logan.
Gonna do all the results
yes.
from
the knockout
the
stage
to the knockout stage.
By that time, where will we be, guys? We'll be at the quarters. Some quarters will be done.
Yeah, because
it'll first, be, semis.
First
game's
Friday. Yes. Friday, Saturday will be the yeah. quarterfinal.
Okay, so we can do a big review of everything, and we can talk about how Germany's not in it, and we can talk about Spain and Portugal. Tons of stuff.
Three Lions.
About. We were only supposed to have Logan on for 10 minutes, but
look at what we do.
It turns into a full hour. So
you're welcome, everybody.
We're gonna do all of that review next week because there's a couple of guys that are missing today, so we need to put them to the sword for their picks. So we're gonna do all that next week, Logan. Hopefully you can join us for that. I know you didn't make the picks, but you can add some. You can shed some light on some of the things that you've seen.
You know, Reg. Funny enough, when I looked at my pick this week in some hockey pool. With 105 people, I was number 5 in the I was in the top 5. So and I was ready to strike. I expect myself to be at the top of that pool right now. I'll have to check it after I get up.
Fantastic.
Just shows my brilliance, Reg, I have to say.
Well, okay. Listen, Logan, you brought it tonight, buddy. You always bring it, but tonight was extra special with a bit of extra sauce on that one.
Well, I have to say, Joe, I was trying with all my heart not to sucked into the Three Lions.
Well, listen.
But right now, right now I have an England flag across my hood cover.
Yeah, listen.
Which you gotta go for.
Oh,
done.
My hey, God. Listen, I've got that two, guy, Logan.
Listen, you gotta go for
I gotta tell you, Reg, I may even drive by your just for that comment, Reg, I may even drive by your house.
With three honks.
Playing. You know what, Reg?
Yeah, ready? I'm still in Markham, bud.
I just want everybody to be quiet right now.
He's gotta play something.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
Ready for this? It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Football's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming.
Okay. First of all, I
promised myself.
I thought you were going to play a song. You played the song. You were the song.
Remember I said to you guys 2 weeks ago, wouldn't get sucked in, but here I am.
You're in. All in.
And you know what? They haven't even done anything yet.
Well,
all
listen.
They've done is beat Tunisia and Panama.
Reggie and I were speaking before this. I think I told you this today too, Logan, through text. They get through Colombia, then we can start. Because this is going to be a tough game. I mean, there's a game. Right? It's a good, both good teams.
Look, I'll tell you this much, Joe. Colombia is a tough team. The last time England played Colombia in a World Cup game, they beat them 2-0. David Beckham scored a free kick, and Darren Anderton.
You don't have
Darren Anderton. 2-0.
You don't have David Beckham.
And they got out of the group.
Darren Anderton.
You got Dele Alli.
So. You know what, though? Colombia doesn't have Carlos Valderrama or Renny Aguita in that.
You got Jaime Rodriguez.
Is he going to be match fit? Is Rodriguez going to be match fit?
What I would say is this. I hope so too
for the entertainment value. Yeah, for sure.
If England can't beat Colombia and they can't beat Sweden versus Switzerland and they can't beat Croatia, who we owe for knocking us out of Euro 2008, then I don't know what to do as an England fan. Like, this is the easiest road England will ever face.
I don't know why you say that. What
other road could be harder?
You wouldn't rather play Japan?
And then I got to play Brazil.
Colombia?
Yeah, other than this match, that's why I say.
Why would I want to play Brazil or Mexico? I mean, it's not a given that Brazil's going to beat Mexico. But for me, this is Brazil's tournament to lose.
No, I'm calling them as
the favorite.
I said it today, too.
A Brazil-France semifinal would be a spicy one.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that Brazil bringing Bobby Firmino, Fernandinho,
Douglas Costa,
and all the other players that they bring off the bench, they're not the most depth squad. I would say that Belgium has a depthful squad.
I would say that
Uruguay has a very organized team, so they are where they are. And France has a squad that, you know, even the players that France hasn't brought would make a good World Cup squad.
Absolutely.
Do I think that England's in the mix? Do I think that England's the strongest side on this side of the bracket? I do. I'm not ashamed to say that I think that England has the best team on this side of the bracket. Having said that, I feel bad today because it shows you what can happen in a World Cup.
Anything.
Denmark had the better chances on Croatia.
Yeah, it seemed as Croatia wasn't themselves
in the overall game,
right? They weren't creating as much as, you know, we thought they would. But again, I think
agree
when you talk about a knockout stage match. Reggie and I were talking off air. It's especially the first one, the nerves and the expectation level on the team that is favored is immense, and you get this one out of the way, and then anything can really happen. So, anyway,
agree. I mean, I didn't think Croatia was at their best. We're gonna
talk about all of this next week.
We gotta leave something Logan.
Well, Logan, thank you for joining us this week, Joe, as usual.
Amazing.
Hopefully next week we'll have Fred in the studio, and I think Logan said he might stop by as well.
We'll see where England is, Rich.
It's all dependent on England, folks.
We'll see where Nick is next week, and hopefully we can get him in. And we, like I said, we can talk about our picks. But, guys, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll catch you next week.